The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon-Tony. I still don't understand why that new chair in your attic has a headrest.
I'm Tony Kornheiser because I've also been doing some dentistry on the side.
Oh, that's good. That's always good.
So people lay down in the chair.
Yeah.
We support their head and their neck, and then I start drilling. You know, God like help. That movie Marathon Man. Is it safe?
What are you better at, the video games from yesterday or dentistry? Which you one?
Know? Yeah, have I just dated myself ridiculously with Marathon Man?
Yeah.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the A's are rolling. Joel Embiid just misses, and the NFL adds more replay. But we begin today with the New York Knicks actually being good for the first time in recent memory.
Take that.
They beat Atlanta last night to move back into fourth place in the Eastern Conference and stretch their winning streak to 8. Wilbon, you've got Tom Thibodeau as coach of the
year.
Yes. You've got Julius Randle in the MVP conversation.
Top five.
Do you have the guts to say that the Knicks can win the East?
No. But that, you know what made me happy just now because it makes you miserable? The fact that the beginning of that clip, number 4, you might not recognize that or the new hairstyle. That was Derrick Rose. Rose and Tibbs leading the Knicks. I so love this because it makes you miserable.
I don't think of Derrick Rose as having anything to do with New York City.
But he does.
Right, you're correct.
He's wearing
about
a
that.
Knicks uniform last night.
Okay.
Every
fine.
Night. And he had 20, I think. Tony, I watched that game and I find myself cheering for the Knicks. I mean, it's been so long. I mean, I spent so many years of my life as a sports writer going to watch important Knicks and great Knicks players, Patrick Ewing among them, that it's been forever. But no, Tony, they're not ready to win the East. I know they're in fourth now for beating Atlanta last night, and I hope Trae Young gets better quickly, that ankle. No, Tone, but can you just settle right now for the Knicks being better, tough, defensive-minded, competitive, and they can beat anybody, not 4 out of 7, but one, at least one for now.
All right, so we did over-under a couple of days ago on this very program.
Yeah.
And I said they would be under fourth. They would be 6th or 7th.
Right.
So I'm not going to go that they can win the East or anything like that. And last night, if Trae Young doesn't get hurt in the third quarter, maybe Atlanta wins that game. But the Knicks won. The Knicks shot 19 of 35 from 3, which is Utah territory. My problem, Mike, my honest problem is they've been bad for so long that it's hard for me to see them as a good team.
I hear you.
So here's, they haven't won a playoff series, I think, since 2000.
13.
Their last three a playoff series wins since
win,
2000,
win, right.
I think. Right. Their last three coaches, Fizdale and Hornacek and D. Fish, were terrible. I mean, they had terrible records. But here's what I'll say about them. I watched Miami last year become a team before our very eyes. They shared the ball, where only one guy had carte blanche, and that was Jimmy Butler. Maybe the Knicks can do something like that.
Maybe they can. By the way, let's clean this up about playoff victories. Only one playoff series victory since 2000, but that was in 13. Even that's been
a
long time. It's been 8 years, for crying out loud.
Right.
Tony, I believe what you just said. And I believe that while this league is like, you got to put up, you got to put up like 35 threes a night. You have to do all these relatively new things. Defense still wins. And Tibbs knows that. And even though he hasn't won at all, he's gotten close with the Bulls. He got competitive, really competitive, with Minnesota. He can do this in New York with the Knicks in terms of building a team before your very eyes, which can be a threat. I don't think they can win more than a series in the playoffs to be a threat. Over in baseball, meanwhile, the Oakland A's have won 11 in a row. Yesterday's win, totally improbable, with the Twinkies posting 2 errors to throw away a 2-run lead in the 10th. This A's winning streak follows their 6-game losing streak to start the season, in which they were outscored 50-13. So, Tone, on balance, do you trust that the A's are actually good?
No, because what you're looking at are wild swings, 0-6 and 11-0. So, no, I can't trust that. But the Oakland team has been a good team in recent years. They've made the they don't have any payroll, and they've made the playoffs. They made it 3 years in a row. They made it 6 out of 9. Again, you can't name anybody on Oakland. The only guy you can name on Oakland is the manager, Bob Melvin, who's been here for about 300 years and must be very good because, again, they don't have any payroll. You've been slamming Billy Beane for 20 years.
Well, slamming the slurpage. Slamming the slurpage
of
Billy Beane.
The guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. He's built something out of nothing.
He has, Tone. By the way, I can name Matt Chapman. And there's another Matt. Olsen, maybe. I can name a couple of guys. No more than that.
Matt Kelleher.
Yeah, Matt Kelleher, who coached me up on this. I'm going to tell you what I didn't realize. I was slamming the A's this morning when he said we were going to do this story. And then he tells me they won 97 games in 18, 97 again in 19. Their winning percentage last year in the shortened season would have landed them on 97 again. And Tony, look, USA Today did an interesting story about this team, and it pointed out that it is notorious, this franchise, for slow starts followed by hot streaks. In 2002, you mentioned Billy Beane. They were 20-25 and then won 20 straight games. This is what they do, and it doesn't mean they can win the World Series. Look, I was going to Oakland, Tony, every spring to cover the Warriors for like 6 years. And, Tony, you have to walk, as you know, past the gate, like past the outfield, and you can look in. And there's 55,000 seats, and there's like 400 people in them. One time when somebody had a near no-hitter, was working on one, I said to the usher, can I come in? I've never seen a no-hitter. I always like to watch. And they go, yeah, come on in. Come on in. Come in, take a seat anywhere. You go sunbathing. They win 97. They're not a real threat in the playoffs. So I'm of two minds. I don't know what to make of them and that they seem to outperform their personnel all the time.
If you looked at them at 0-6, that was a snapshot of a team that could lose 125 games.
Yeah.
They gave up 50 runs in 6 games. Yeah. And now since then, I got this number. There's 71 runs against 33 in this most recent streak. Look, the game last night, the end of the game last night, there's two ground. This happens with two outs.
Two outs.
Walks and errors. There's a ground ball to second. It ends the game, but they don't get it. There's a ground ball to third. It's fielded. The guy throws a throw to first 20 feet up the line. You never see a throw like that. Sometimes they sail it over the first baseman's head. It was nowhere near the first baseman. It was such a bizarre ending. Such a bizarre inning. We move. The NFL is seeking to make its on-field calls better. They're not going to go for a sky judge who would have absolute power on calls, but they're going to allow the replay official on-site to advise the on-field officials of an angle that more clearly shows what the correct call should be. Wilbon, will this add clarity or confusion?
This is the biggest waste of time, and by waste of time, I mean literally. All this is going to do is add more time to the viewing and the reviewing and the, you know, the going to the field and going back and clicking on the mic and making the, that is junk, all right? Either put a guy in the sky, but the NFL doesn't want to do that because they don't want to follow college football. We do this every couple of years. I think we did it last year. They don't want to have the replay guy really be in control of it right there, Tony, and so they're going to waste our time by adding more time. I know you know I'm right on this.
Well, I think you're right initially in the sense that forget clarity or confusion, it will add time to the game.
Yeah.
Initially. If a game is at 3:15, it'll go 3:25 or 3:30. But if this official is proactive, if he gets involved quickly,
he'll be fired.
What it could cut down on, challenge calls, which take longer than anything else.
Yeah.
The guy's got to throw it. Then I got to ask what he's talking about. Then I got to go to 9 different. So if that would actually cut down on time. And look, Mike, in all sports, the most important thing is to get the call right. The refereeing has to get it right to the degree that they can. It's especially with betting. It's very much more important. Now, players are going to hate this. Players are going to stand up on the first bad call and say, "Like, sound like you.
Yeah.
Get rid of
it.
It's all junk, and we don't need it." But the fact is that the integrity of all sports depends on getting the calls right.
I agree.
Think you have to try.
I agree with you, Tony, but only college football really gets it right, because they get the call right and they get it done without interrupting the hell out of the game. They have a flow still to college football games. So this is not, there's got not going to be any flow. It's going to be slower.
College football takes 4 hours.
But it already took four.
It's the longest thing in the world.
It's not slowed down by replay, Tony. College football took 4 hours 15, 20 years ago. It did. I go to the games. I'm a season ticket holder. I know.
It's, my God, you have just in an 8-minute segment talked about going to college football games, going to cover the Warriors, going to cover Madison Square Garden. Patrick Ewing. Do you ever stay home?
No.
Let's take a break.
Because you're in the attic.
Coming
I can't stay home.
How would we be talking about Joel Embiid's shot had it actually gone in?
And is it important for the Padres to win this round with the Dodgers? I go to some stuff. You should come out. Come out to play. I ring your doorbell.
I'll come out to play.
Can Tony come out to play?
I'm not going to that studio.
Yeah, apparently
I'm not.
Going
there. I'll come out to play.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The honorary doctor is wearing his coat and sitting in his dentist chair, so it's time to perform a painful procedure on Wilbon and What's the Word. What's first?
It would have been blank if Joel Embiid's buzzer beater had gone in.
Legendary. That might have become the most famous shot in the history of basketball. And it wasn't even a shot. It was just a heave. Embiid got it off the board, throws it the length of the field, basically, and it almost goes down. It's in the cylinder before it pops out. Wilbon, can you imagine how yappy and self-congratulatory Joel Embiid would have been if that had gone in? And I will bet you this. If you ask him to repeat that 10 times, I'm not sure he ever hits the backboard.
I agree.
From that distance.
I agree.
I'm not sure he ever does that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And it would have beaten your Suns, which would have made you crazy. On the other hand, your Sixers, who you killed for 10 years until Doc Rivers Northwestern boy Daryl Morey showed up. They would have won that.
Yeah.
What a good night for you last night.
Yeah.
Tibbs wins and Phoenix wins.
And by the way, like you, I root for my friends. So I'm rooting for Doc and I'm rooting for Morey. You taught me that about 40 years ago. Now, you know what it would have been? It would have been more ball. Because the game wouldn't have ended. That would have just forced overtime. So you're wrong about that.
Oh.
That they were down three. That's, I know you think it could count for five because it was from, I think, 82 feet. The court is 94 feet long, and B was out there. By the way, you're on the wrong side of too many good guys and good players. You're on the wrong side of Dame Lillard. You're on the wrong side of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And you're on the wrong side of Joel Embiid. That now could be three of your all-team first-team guys.
You're on the wrong side of these people.
Please.
You.
What's next?
It's blank for the Padres to win this four-game series against the Dodgers.
It's over-dramatized. This is April. Nothing permanent happens in April. Now, I will concede that the Padres are swooning. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. They won that third game on Sunday. Then they got swept by the Brewers. So they are 5 out now. If they were to get swept by the Dodgers, yeah, they would be 9 out. And maybe that's cause for concern, even in April. And I understand that. That's a big number. But if they win 2, if they split the series, they're 5 out, Mike, with 128 to play. I mean, yeah. As you know, I think the Dodgers are a better team than the Padres. I do. And I expect the Dodgers to win at least 2. And I'm really looking forward to Kershaw against Darvish. And I'm looking forward to Bauer against Snell again. But I just think we're making too much of this one right now.
Now, Tone, and I'm usually on the same side you're on with this, but this is about to be Mike Tyson against Michael Spinks. That's what this is about to
really?
Become. Yeah, yeah. If they
really?
Sweep them and go 9 and they're the better team, Tony, and I don't believe you should decide or even try to decide or pronounce or declare anything even in the first week of May. All right? And so if this series goes, I don't know if it goes to Sunday, is that the first? I don't know what it is. Quasi-urgent.
What is your word?
Quasi-urgent. Not urgent, but quasi-urgent. It's getting there, Tone. You don't want to be 9 down to the champs who are already feeling themselves.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think the Dodgers will sweep them?
But I don't. I'm saying if they do sweep, that's why it's quasi-urgent.
Okay.
You can't have the Dodgers sweeping this if you're the Padres.
Can I tell you that, like, the last 2 years, I've been so good with Chris Paul. I keep telling you he should be the MVP.
You do, you do.
So get off me on Chris Paul.
Get on the right side.
Let's take one last break. Still to
come. Get off him.
I'm not writing books with these guys like you are. Steph Curry's scoring streak comes to an end. An end, that's it.
I think we had that one right, Tone. On Steph Curry.
We.
And Tony Romo does something special on his very first hole in the Corn Ferry Tour this morning. We both said
we.
Bradley Beal.
I believe I had that.
No, we said Bradley Beal. Do I need to go to the tape?
We as in I.
No.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Duncan Robinson, the starting shooting guard for the Miami Heat, who was so good in Miami's improbable run to the NBA Finals last year, is 5th in the NBA with 3.5 made threes per game. This is Robinson's third year in the league as an undrafted free agent out of Michigan, so he's fairly well known. But where he started college before transferring to Michigan, nobody would have guessed he would end up in the NBA, because where Robinson started college was at Williams, a D3 academic diamond in Western Massachusetts. Williams, Amherst, and Wesleyan make up the little three, and they don't send a lot of guys to the pros. They send a lot of guys to think tanks. Williams's actual nickname is the Fs, E-P-H-S, and students chant, "Go Fs." Their mascot is a purple cow.
Purple, baby, that's the important thing. Tony, Duncan Robinson shot 44.6% from 3 last season in that run through the playoffs, up to it anyway. He's at 41% now, and you can say, well, he's sort of off form. Since not being traded at the trade deadline, he has settled in, and he's hit 59 of his last 123s. Watch out, Duncan Robinson. Watch out for Duncan Robinson and the Heat.
Williams. Isn't that where your boy Morty started
Morty
out?
Morty Shapiro.
Happy anniversary, Fernando Valenzuela. On this day 40 years ago, the Dodgers rookie pitcher threw his third shutout in 4 starts as Fernando Mania launched this 20-year-old from relative anonymity into superstardom. Valenzuela won his first 8 starts, 5 of them shutouts. He finished that strike-shortened season with a 13-7 record and a 2.48 ERA, and he became the first and only player to win both Cy Young and Rookie of the Year in the same season.
Man.
Fernando and Mark Fidrich are rookie pitchers I remember exploding onto the baseball scene. In the Los Angeles Dodgers pitching lore, Fernando may rank just below Koufax and Kershaw in being beloved. On a personal note, my friend Mike Litwin was a sports writer for the LA Times then, and he wrote a quickie book called Fernando, which was printed in both English and Spanish in the same book, Mike. Same book.
Tony, it's 40 years ago, a time when baseball was not dwarfed by the NFL back then, because Fernando Valenzuela owned This Time of Year, not the 43rd edition of the mock draft. Fernando Valenzuela, baseball, I mean, phenomenal. People now, they don't even understand how huge he was to the landscape.
The closest thing I can think of, and it's much smaller, was Linsanity for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
It was just everybody talking about it.
Miniature, though.
Yeah. Happy trails to Steph Curry's scoring streak. Curry at 33 had become the oldest player in NBA history to score 30 points or more in 11 straight games. And he had taken over the scoring lead from Bradley Beal. Last night, the two faced each other in Washington, and Curry, uncharacteristically, fell flat as a pancake, scoring only 18 points. Curry shot just 7 for 25, and worse, he was just 2 for 14 from 3. That's his worst long-distance performance of the season. Meanwhile, Beal got 29 points, though to be fair, he only made 8 of 21 shots. Wilbon, you'll remember I predicted Beal would outscore Curry.
By yourself?
And you'll remember our bet. Curry had averaged 45 points in his last 5 games. Beal had averaged 32. I said, I will take Beal plus 13 points, and I didn't even need the 13, so pay up.
Yeah, so I told you I wasn't giving you any 13 anyway, and I took Bradley Beal to outscore as well. Tony, the game was exciting. It seemed flawed. I mean, of course, Russell Westbrook had a triple-double, but here's the thing he had that's a stunner. He had 20 boards. Russell Westbrook, he's still, what is he, 6'3 and a half? 20 boards. The Wizards are going to make the play-in, and they're going to scare the hell out of somebody in the playoffs. Watch.
So last night for me, I got to watch the Nats win when Scherzer was a warrior god, went 7, didn't give up anything, and they won that game. And then I got to watch this game, and the Wizards won. It's not as great as Tibbs winning or Phoenix winning,
but I felt pretty good about it.
One clarification, the average length of an NFL game is about 3 hours and 10 minutes, with the average college game at 324. Takes longer. That's my point. Anthony Davis is back on the court for the Lakers tonight. Is that significant?
Yes, he's going to be in the starting lineup against the Mavericks, but there's a 15-minute limit, but they need to get him back out there. And then LeBron next at some point, because right now, Tony, looks like LeBron could be out another 3 weeks, it sounds like. Tony Romo chipped in to eagle his first hole on the Corn Ferry Tour this morning in suburban Dallas. Are you impressed?
Yeah, I know he was plus 6, but I'm impressed. I've told you this. Gary Williams and I played 9 with Tony Romo once. He's really good. The Vegas Golden Knights became the first NHL team to clinch a playoff spot. Are they cup favorites?
Maybe in Vegas, of course, but I'm going to take either the Lightning or the Panthers. I'll take either one of them. Julian Edelman joining the cast of Showtime's Inside the NFL. Is he going to be a good fit?
I don't really have a sense of him talking. I've read his writing lately
too.
That calls for inclusion and, you know, people should understand each other. I like that. Last one, Javi Baez hit a grand slam righty and flew out lefty, which is more impressive.
Well, he's not a switch hitter, first of all, but the home run was crushed. That was more impressive. Hitting lefty.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
X-Chair.